All right, so we're in Matthew chapter 26, and last Thursday, we stopped at verse number 6. You remember in verse number 4, the priests, high priests, and the scribes and the elders wanted to do what to the Lord Jesus? What did they want to do to him in verse 3 and 4? What was it?
Wanted to kill him,
absolutely, and subtly, and kill, take him by subtly, slyly, but not uproar among the people. And so they were in the house of Simon the leper. So we begin in verse number 7. Before we begin, are there questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018? Give us a call or comment. I'd to hear from you. Let's read verses 7, 8, and 9. 26 from Matthew, 7, 8, and 9. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Find verse number 7. What did this woman have as she came to the Lord?
Perfume.
We don't know exactly what type of ointment, but what did she do with it?
Poured
on his head.
Yeah.
And what was the reaction of the disciples in verse number 5 and number 8?
They thought it was wasteful.
Wasteful. And had indignation. What was that? Indignation.
They were angry.
And what purpose is this waste? What does waste mean? Why did they think this was a waste of this precious ointment?
It was very expensive.
All right. What do you think it was used for? What could have been used for?
Well, they could have sold it and earned money.
Oh, sold it and earned money? That's right. So they were angry. They were upset. But then in verse number 9, they said it could be given to the poor. That's what it was. Sold for much. A lot of money. Give it to the poor. See? Let's read verse number 10, 11, and 12 together. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For he said, what a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Find verse number 10. What was the Lord's reaction? Did he consider this to be a waste?
No.
Did he want to sell this to the poor and give money to the poor?
No.
No? What does it mean? Why trouble ye the woman? What do you think that means?
Well, they were being judgmental towards her,
mm-hmm.
and saying, why are you wasting all this ointment?
Mm-hmm. What do you think her feelings were? What do you think that her reaction
was?
She felt
condemned.
Probably condemned. It hurt, that's right. And why trouble ye? So he was rebuking his own apostles, wasn't he, disciples?
Mm-hmm.
What did the Lord Jesus say, Paul Bill?
It says also, see here, in 12, that oil was for his burial.
Right.
Also, and it seems like he was trying to tell them at that time that he doesn't have long, and
right.
he's going to be crucified soon.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't understand.
Oh, in verse 10, what did he say this was? Waste?
A good work
upon me. Then in verse 11, the poor. You want to give the money to the poor. What did he say about these poor?
They're always there.
Always there. What did Dr. Algina say when he went somewhere else and a substitute pastor took his place? Remember? That's in Bethel Baptist Church.
The poor you have with you always, I guess.
The poor you have with you always. You mean himself. So then he's got another special speaker. Because Dr. Algina, yes.
Sometimes he wasn't gone away. Sometimes he was a special speaker.
Special speaker, yes.
When
he's there,
you have with you.
Yes, a very modest point of his own. So, but now, yes, ma'am.
Well, I was thinking about this lady. She did what she had a great burden to give this ointment that she had, that mm-hmm. it meant a lot to her. It was expensive for her.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of using it for her own burial or whatever you use that ointment for,
mm-hmm.
she did this to Jesus, and then these people made fun of her.
Yes.
She was giving from her very heart, her very own self, and they made fun of her.
Yes, she did. Now, speaking of the poor, the poverty, remember the war on poverty? Who was the president that coined that phrase?
Lyndon
Johnson. Lyndon Baines Johnson. Now, what about the poor? Are there poor with us today. Still a lot of poor. Poor with us in the country, all over the world. Our poor people have it wonderfully well compared to the poor in Russia and China and Africa, all these different places. The poor you have
really well. Russia, they think
you're wrong. But the poor people over there, they've got poverty over there too.
Oh, yeah.
So the communists, the ones in charge, they've got the big budgets and the big homes and cars and so on. But there are many, many poor people all over these communist nations.
Our country has poor people. We have a lot of hungry people.
Yes.
People that you wouldn't know would be hungry, but they don't want to say they're hungry. They're not getting a good balanced food or anything, but they're hungry.
It's interesting. Right across the street, the Lutheran church there with this food pantry, every Tuesday and Thursday, usually the big truck comes. I noticed what was on that truck today as it sat out there on Thursday. I can't think of exactly what it was, but something about we fight hunger, something like that.
It's the food bank of South Jersey.
Is it food bank of South Jersey also? Is that from this?
No, it was the truck.
That's the truck, yes. And there's a big sign on it. I don't remember what it was, but the idea was, hey, you're hungry, we can help. And so they give food and they offload it and give it over there, people come. But the poor, yeah, with you always. And then they've done a good work on me. Good work on me. Then in verse 11, they have done me always. What does that mean? He had not me, always.
Verse 11?
Yes, verse 11.
He's going to go away.
Where's he going to go?
To die,
go to heaven, absolutely. Then verse 12, Bill will point this out. She poured it on him. Why did she pour it on him?
For her burial.
For his burial.
She believed him in the disciples.
That's right. She believed all that he said. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. And 3 days of her rise again. So she believed, and this was for his burial. That's really something, isn't it? A woman believing for these men, these apostles, been with the Lord for 3 whole years, didn't believe him, and thought he was telling him falsely. That's unfortunate, isn't it? My burial. Let's read verse 13, 14, and 15 together. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever this gospel shall be preached to the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman has done, be told for a memorial for her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, and said unto them, what would he give me, that I would give him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Verse 13, what did the Lord Jesus say about this woman's deed, this action that she took? Questions at bfdbc.org or 856-261-9018. Yeah, huh?
From now on, he said, wherever the gospel is preached, people will know about this woman.
Yes.
And this, that what she did for him turned out to be a memorial for her.
That's right. A memorial for her of faith. This woman of faith. Oh, you of little faith. Lord Jesus said in other places, preach to the whole world what this woman done for a memorial for her. Then in verse 14. Who comes upon the scene, or if he was there on the scene? Well, he really wasn't, but what is the man that comes in now? What's his name?
Yes, Anna.
Judas Iscariot. Yes, Anna.
It's interesting that it says, then one of the 12,
yes,
called Judas Iscariot, went under the chief priest. Emphasizing the then, because it's almost like he was disgruntled because of this ointment situation.
Yes.
So he goes to the chief priest.
Uh-huh. What was his position among the 12?
He was the one that held the bag.
He held the bag. He was the treasure, had the bag. He wanted that money, he had the money, and he was the money man. He went to the chief priests. Who were they again? What was their purpose? Who were what they believed?
Jesus.
What is it?
They were the religious leaders.
Religious leaders. And remember up in verse number 4 or 5, in 3, what did they want to do to the Lord Jesus?
They wanted to kill him.
With subtlety to kill, just a trick. So he went to the priest, the chief priest, and in verse 15, what did he say to them? What did he say to these chief priests? What did Judas Iscariot say?
He wanted money.
Okay.
Well,
what do you give me?
You.
I will deliver. What does it mean, deliver him? Deliver, what's that mean?
Hand him over to him.
Turn him in. That was a treacherous deed, wasn't it? A treacherous deed. He was one of the 12. Should be loyal to the Lord Jesus, and he was disloyal. And I will deliver him unto you. What did they say? What does this mean? Covenant with him. What does that mean? They covenanted with him.
Made an agreement.
Made an agreement with him. For how much?
30 pieces of silver.
30 pieces of silver. That's an interesting, we don't know exactly the total amount that would be in our present today, but with our paper money going, it's probably 65 billion every month, probably worthless, but we don't know exactly.
It's silver.
It's silver. This is real. See, not the money that we have today, today's dollars. See, we don't know what the amount would be.
It's interesting in contrast with the woman that poured the ointment on the Lord's head, and you know how they said it was a waste. And then here we see, you know, that he was going after the money, you know, that probably was less than what she had poured on his head.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not sure, mm-hmm. but I've heard, I'm not sure if it says here,
mm-hmm.
but that it was
very precious.
What, a year's wages or something? Huh? Well, maybe not in this context, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's what it would have been. But, and I don't know how much 30 pieces of silver would be worth, but it just seems as though it would be less.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
It could be. Silver versus the ointment. Precious ointment. Precious.
I agree with Tammy. I think the ointment was worth more than the silver.
Mm-hmm.
They criticized her because they thought she was being excessive and demonstrating her. I mean, even I've heard people say, you know, demonstrating her love in excess and, you know, and here we have Judas, he's displaying his greed in excess.
Right. People say that people are crazy for giving to churches and Bible-believing churches like ours and ministry to missions and different things at the Bible Fund, but the people give because they want to give on a missionary agency that is proper and biblical. That's what we should do. We shouldn't be like the Judas and like the chief priests and saying this woman is a squandering when we've got poor always with you. So he covenanted with them that he made an agreement for 30 pieces of silver. That's certainly not a whole lot of money, but then we read 13, 14, 15. Where did we stop? Read 15?
We read 15.
15. Well, let's read 16, 17, and 18 together. And from that time, he saw an opportunity to betray him. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And they said unto him, go into the city, said to the man, and say unto him, the Master said, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover thy house to thy disciples. Now, verse 16, once Judas got the money, what did he do? What did he do?
He was looking for an opportunity.
All right. What kind of opportunity?
To betray him.
Is there ever a good opportunity to betray the Lord Jesus Christ?
No.
We shouldn't have an opportunity to betray him. What should we seek an opportunity to do?
To honor
him and to glorify him and to serve him, to betray him. He sought. Boy, he was looking very carefully. How can I turn him in, be a traitor to the Savior, the Lord Jesus? And then in verse 17, what time of the Jewish year was it here?
Feast of
Unleavened Bread. The disciples came to Jesus, and what did they ask him? What did they ask him?
In verse
17.
Where do you want us to prepare to eat the Passover?
Ready to Passover. And what did he say in verse 18?
Come to the city and there'll be a man there.
Say, okay. How do you know there's going to be a man right there?
He knows everything.
He knows omniscience. He's an omniscient Savior, the perfect God as well, perfect man. Meet a man, and what are you going to say to this man? What is he supposed to tell him in verse number 18? All right. The Master said. Who is the Master?
Jesus.
Or Jesus.
Jesus said, teacher.
Does it mean teacher?
It means teacher, that's right. Teacher, and he said, what did he say? What was the message he told this man?
My time is at hand.
What does that mean? My time is at hand.
Well, he's referring to the crucifixion, isn't he?
For the crucifixion. That's right.
But probably the man doesn't know that, does he?
Pardon me?
Do you think the man actually would
understand
that?
Probably didn't understand that, but when he says she's anointed me for my burial, it sounds like his time
right.
that he had, isn't it?
Right.
And Judas sought an opportunity to betray him, and the high priest wanted to kill him. All of this worked together, a subtlety to kill him. And time. And then, what did he say after he says, my time is at hand? What does at hand mean, by the way?
Right handy,
close by.
Close by. That's what Paul said in his last letter, did he not? In 2 Timothy.
I have a question about this, because earlier in this chapter, it was talking about the Passover, it wasn't talking about the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
It said not on the feast day.
Mm-hmm.
So was that feast day the Passover, or was it some other feast day? And it was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Can you give me the timeline again?
It's the
Passover first, isn't it?
Yes, 14th day of the first month, and Unleavened Bread the 15th day. Apparently, the Jewish reckoning from the Passover to the full week of the Unleavened Bread, that's sometimes referred to as the Unleavened Bread, the whole thing. Apparently here.
So the Passover can be referred to as
sort of
the
first part
day
of that.
Yes.
But technically, the Passover is the 14th day, the Unleavened
right.
Bread is the 15th day.
Right.
Well, this is a little bit of a problem verse here. So sometimes they refer to that whole thing as one big unit.
Okay, so then another question, follow up. That Passover, it says, I will keep the Passover. So is he going to have it the night before the Passover? Because it wasn't, they said not on the feast day. So which feast day do you think it was? Was it the Passover?
Well, it was probably pretty close.
He was crucified?
Remember, the Passover was slain at what part of the day of the Passover
wasn't
feast?
In the evening,
that's right, it was in the evening. So when they participated in the Passover feast, the Lord's Supper, you know what I mean, in the different Gospels, that was the morning or afternoon of that Passover. Then at night, they would slay the Passover, and the Lord Jesus, that same night, was slain as a Passover lamb. Many people have got that chronology in that way. The 14th day of the month of
Abib. So they believe then this was earlier in the day?
Probably earlier in the day, maybe.
Or not the day before, or the night before. It was
probably
earlier
in
the day.
Earlier in the day, yes. So those are all important things. Now, Han, you had something?
No.
Okay. So this man of the, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. Now, what do you think this man would think about somebody inviting himself to his house?
I think this man must have known about Jesus.
All right. He's called the master, the teacher, and he knew this was the Lord Jesus, right?
A lot of people
he probably believed. He may have believed on him.
Yes. What did the Lord Jesus say to Zacchaeus up there in that big
you
tree?
Come down, for I'm going to your house.
I'm going to your house. The Lord Jesus invited himself to his house. And here again, he invited himself to his house. And sometimes we people invite ourselves to the house, don't we? Okay. All right, so we're going to stop right here. But you have any other comments?
Well, in our country.
What is it? No, it doesn't. In fact, we had somebody from Africa, you know, years ago, wanted to invite herself to different houses. You know, we just have to wait till the person asks. So anyway, any other comments or questions?
I invited myself to the rain.
When people come to town, they call ahead of time. They say, we're going to be coming.
Right.
We want to come. So they, it's similar, but they didn't have a phone. So they would they would make the message some other way, or they would just come.
Yes. Well, praise the Lord, our daughter-in-law was very gracious. She likes to have us. In fact, she said she'd like to talk to us about
things.
So praise the Lord for that. What's that?
Thank you.
Yes, very gracious. So, as for me, when I go places, I don't like to
I'm a television.
I know.
So again,
when I go places, when I go places, I prefer to go to a motel. So not to overcome people, but if they're welcome to do it, we go. We love to be with the people. No questions, but I like to not to push in on people myself. But anyway, but here the Lord said, I'm going to come to your house. Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
I'll be fine here. Someone over here, somebody down the line here. Can you find it? Here we go.
What's happening now?
It's got something.
Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you go back to verse 17 on the first day and the feast to explain in Christ, Wendy.
All right, thank you. Wendy, wave to Wendy over in Wisconsin. Wendy, what we've tried to infer here is that sometimes they refer to the whole Passover as the day of unleavened bread, as that whole week, Passover, unleavened bread, 14, 15, 16, right out through as the feast there. And it's difficult because normally the Passover is the 14th and unleavened bread is the 15th. But here, you say the day of the Passover. So one day it's a mystery. We can't really answer it completely. All we can say is this must have, in this particular case, referred to the first day of the unleavened bread as that general feast, including the Passover. The Passover hadn't come yet. So that's all I can say. Sorry about that. It's a difficult thing to explain. Any other comments or questions before we close? Well, let's close in with a word of prayer. We thank you, Father. We can talk about these things. We thank you for the discussion about the memorial service for Martha Yoon, Dr. Yoon's wife. We thank you, Lord, that we were able to go, that Dan could take us and 2 hours or so up and 2 hours back today. We ask you for the services to come on the Lord's Day. Guide us and direct us, and may it be a blessing. And protect us in all that we do between now and then. I thank you for this passage, this woman that believed our Savior was going to be crucified and anointed him for the burial. We're glad for this man that we're going to open up his house to have the Passover with the Lord Jesus and his disciples. We're sorry about Judas Iscariot, who sought opportunity to betray him. Lord, make us never seeking opportunities to betray thy Son, but to exalt him and glorify him and love him and serve him. Guide us and direct us as we go. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hi, thank you for coming.